from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fan, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fan, Bleed Blue Show, the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud. This has been a pretty much a fun night in the National Hockey League round two action. Actually just started Vancouver and Vegas, and Vancouver within the first couple of minutes already on the board. He got a goal from Toffoli and assisted from Elias Pettersson. They're trying to get back and make up what happened. They got routed by the Golden Knights the other night, a couple of nights ago. I was hoping the regulation game, game number two, Boston and Tampa Bay, would have concluded, but right now that game's in overtime. That's been a nice, fun back and forth game tonight. As we, you know, talk about this on this episode, Marchand getting that goal to tie it up at three. Nice back and forth flow to the game. Two heavyweight hockey clubs into an overtime session right now. Without further ado, RP Ranger Proud, of course, a writer for Empire Sports Media. Twitter, Facebook, all that, and the shebang, man. Sir, how's everything? I hope all is well, sir. What's going on, RP?
Hey, Steve, how's it going? Yeah, things are going well. Apologies for last week. I fell asleep. I'm on this new shift, guys, and I'm still not used to 6 to 2s, so I apologize for not making last week's podcast.
No.
I just missed it.
No worries, man.
I could not stay
up. No worries. No worries, though.
You know,
talking about
I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just covering this. We can go backtrack a little bit before we get into this round two stuff, round two games. What was your thoughts as far as the last round, as far as teams advancing? That's kind of what the dialogue is as far as Philly, the Islanders are locking things up. And what's your thoughts as far as round one action?
Yeah, you can't knock the Islanders. They are playing some great defensive hockey right now. It's been they look really good. The Islanders look really good. I think the Dallas looks really good. The hockey's been good. Bubble or not, fans or no fans, the hockey games themselves have been some really good hockey. I'm enjoying the playoffs. It's good to have it back. But these guys are really battling. As you said, now I'm watching the Boston-Tampa Bay overtime start. It's been another good series so far in game two with Boston. It's a big period for Tampa Bay here. They don't want to go down 2-0 to the Bruins. But overall, I think the hockey's been great. A few surprises here and there. Some games, like you said the other night, with Vegas routing Vancouver was a little surprising and all. So, it's been some good games, some good overtime, some really good overtime, some great goaltending. So it's been enjoyable to watch. The teams are battling hard. These guys don't care if it's a pandemic or not. Somebody wants to win the Stanley Cup. So they're really playing hard, and I think it's great for the NHL.
No, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Let's see. Who's calling 6921 as far as the dialogue on the hockey? What's going on? Who's this?
Hey, how you doing? It's Louie from Jersey.
Is it Lou? Sounds like Lou's voice. Lou, is that you?
Yeah, I'm on a cell phone, though. So if you didn't recognize it, guys, never. Just how you know.
All right, it's no problem, man. I hope all is well. We're catching up with RP. And what was your thoughts as far as this first round action from last week with the teams advancing, like Vegas, Vancouver beating St. Louis, like, or any of the first round matchups? Good game tonight, like RP said. But what's your thoughts on round one?
Being the defending champions, well, not from nothing, but it's always tough to repeat. So I guess, it was bound to happen, though. Vegas, like last year, everybody was surprised that they were, they got to the finals. It's like, how can a new team get in there? Like, look, you dealt with a lot of seasoned veterans on that team, not just a bunch of college kids coming out. And, a lot of people thought that Vegas wasn't going to be able to repeat, this time around. But I still see something good with the Golden Knights. They're going to surprise you. Now the Islanders, Philadelphia. I'm a little bit torn about with that because I knew somebody who was a big Islanders fan. He recently passed away, so a guy I kind of have, you know, something with the Islanders this year, even though I can't stand him. And they beat Washington, which I really thought maybe that Washington was going to take. I mean, you know, Ovechkin. I mean, you know, Ovechkin's unstoppable. He's, you know, your big goal scorer and whatnot. And I really thought that the Capitals were actually going to overtake the Islanders. Well, so much for that theory.
And that is a good point. I was going to say, is a good point, RP, what Lou just said as far as the Capitals. I'm not saying that their window is closing, but they are kind of on the other side of, I guess you could say, their prime, RP, the Capitals. We've seen them with their Stanley Cup run, and they've been in the playoffs for a very long time with the same core guys. Yeah. But I think, like what Lou just said, RP, and I'm going to go to you on this. I mean, I think that series really meant a lot to Barry Trotz. You know, I mean, him not getting that contract as far as re-signing with the team after winning the Stanley Cup. And playing with RP, a really gritty, defensive-minded Islanders team that I think a lot of hockey fans could really appreciate and really put it to the Capitals, RP.
Yeah, well, you know, the Capitals, Backstrom was hurt, and Holtby looked like age is beginning to catch up with them. And Ovechkin, against a strong defensive Islander team, just couldn't do it all himself. And it showed. You're right, Barry Trotz absolutely wanted that series with everything that happened. And he's got his team playing on all cylinders. And if you look at a lot of these series, a lot of the big-time scorers haven't been able to carry their team to the next round. You know, Ovechkin struggled. I guess you could say the same thing with Panarin with the Rangers in the qualifying round. They struggled. And, you know, there's a lot to – I first think the Capitals had a little bit of a disadvantage. Like some of these other teams, those round-robin games weren't nearly as competitive as the qualifying round. And it did give those teams that made it out of the qualifying round a little bit of an edge. Not a lot.
Yeah.
But you could see that the stronger players seemed not to get into a groove right away. And before you knew it, things were, you know, they were running out of time.
And that five overtime
for the Capitals,
game,
yeah. Oh, the five overtime game was great, but
yeah.
It just showed that in this environment, it is a more of a team concept. You know, some teams are going with two goalies, some teams are really changing up their lines and what they normally go with. They're trying to find that edge. As I said before, the only team I think that looks really, really comfortable on the ice are the Islanders and the Dallas Stars, which. They just look really strong. So I think the biggest score is, you know, they just couldn't get it together. A lot of these guys just couldn't come back from the break and find that groove where they were before the pandemic shut everything down. Not to take away from any teams playing now. There's some really strong players here. But those early round games and those bigger players that you're used to seeing, you know, Connor McDavid got knocked out early. As you said, Panarin, Ovechkin's already out. It's interesting how a lot of these big-name players, it just shows you can't do it yourself. You look at the Bruins, you know, Pastrnak has missed a couple of games, but he came back and he looked like he stepped right back to where he was back in March. So I don't know if it's the way players handle the break, how they worked out when they could work out. It is an interesting situation when you look at who's left playing right now compared to who got knocked out. So it's been an unusual first couple of weeks of the playoffs. But it's been a lot of gritty hockey.
You know, I want to say, go back to that one series. Hold on, I'm gonna get to you. Hold on. You mentioned the Dallas Stars, RP, and I think I was kind of holding on that Calgary Flames Dallas Stars series, probably the most out of the Western Conference. Like you said, the scoring in that particular series was off the charts, and it was a lot of back and forth. But in particular, the closeout game by the Dallas Stars, and especially the four-goal game by Gurnoff, I mean, I think that carried over right now into the series versus Colorado, because I thought, I expected at least a 1-1 split through two games. But the Dallas line has been phenomenal. And I think, I don't want to say we overlooked, but Joe Pavelski and Corey Perry, the veterans that they added, I mean, they had added veterans even last year through the trade deadline, you know, the trade deadline with Matt Zuccarello. But adding a guy who's a captain, man, these are captains, man. You know, captains from other teams that have made deep runs on the other teams in the past. And I'm actually shocked a little bit, RP, because I think Colorado, in my opinion, is just as deep as Vegas. But they got beat at their own game in game number two. Now, game number one, I'm not really too tripping about because I thought Dallas responded very well off the good start from Colorado. You got to play it up against the top line. But I never thought, watching game two, that Colorado, who was up 2-0 in that game, and just simply got outplayed in the second period. And especially, you know, the Dallas top line is just, you know, is good, but I don't think as good as Colorado's. But they outplayed Colorado, and they blitzed them in that second period. So I think a lot of this carryover from the Calgary series has worked out in the favor of the Dallas Stars, man. I think they're not intimidated. And I still have Colorado winning the series, even down 2-0. But I'm a little shocked. I'm a little shocked at that, I wanna, to say the least. Lou, anything else you would like to add?
Well, if you want to scrub it and give you one, the Lightning just beat the Bruins in overtime 4-3. Just ended about 5 minutes ago.
It's 1-1 now, that series. Another good one.
Yep.
Well, that's a good one. I mean, that's good because you don't want to be down 2-0. None of the, both of those teams don't want to be down big in those series because both teams got literally got all-stars on like all over their lines, man. I mean, they got, you know, I thought, as far as in the game, the third line for the Tampa Bay Lightning was really keeping them in it, and especially in the first and second periods, man. They were really skating well. And then, of course, like you said, winning it in overtime because Boston led in that game. Tampa tied it up. Boston took the lead. Tampa tied it up. Then Tampa took the lead, and Brad Marchand got that goal with 3 minutes left, and they carried it into the overtime. So, yeah, I mean, I think Palat probably ended it for the Lightning. RP, anything else you'd like to add, man?
Yep.
No, not in that. That was a good series. I watched that goal. That Tampa Bay gets them right back, you know, obviously ties up at 1-1 and gives them a lot of momentum. That was a bigger goal,
yeah,
believe it or not, probably for Tampa Bay than Boston, because Tampa Bay definitely didn't want to go down 2-0 in that series. So now we wait and see. Now we flip over and watch the Vancouver Knights game, and the Canucks have an early 2-0 lead on Golden Knights. So, you know, something these teams are playing, they're not – the scores, as you can see throughout the first round or so and these few second-round games, these teams don't give up, and no lead is safe. I mean – you look at what Dallas has done. They just keep coming back and coming back. So it makes for great hockey. But I tell you, I guess from a coaching standpoint, it's got to be driving some of these guys crazy because these teams are just having trouble holding two-goal leads. You can see that all around the playoffs, which is a little unusual. It's what the league wanted, making it high scoring, obviously. But teams can't just quit because no lead is safe.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the West, RP, with Vancouver and Vegas, I mean, that two goal leading. That's really nothing right now with those two teams. Matter of fact, we'll put all the West teams. We'll even take it a step further. Six of the eight teams remaining, they could really score. I mean, the Islanders series with the Flyers, you know, that's kind of more of defensive minded. But the rest of the series is all pretty much offensive. I mean, it's all number all stars on these teams. So when you see, that's another guy we're going to have to do a video on the Bleed Blue Show with the page, man, with Bo Horvat and Elias Pettersson. I mean, these guys, I mean, he's got his, what, seventh goal in the playoffs already? I mean, this is guy, and Pettersson, they can't stop these guys, man. These guys can score at will. And, you know, Dallas being down 2-0 and then, you know, power play situations happen. They got their top lines playing phenomenal with Ben, and then, of course, you added Pavelski into the mix and getting some goals. And we even talked about the Vegas Golden Knights, RP. I mean, they have nothing but all-stars on that team. Like Lou said, in that expansion draft, a lot of those guys are still there. Then you added, like, a Mark Stastny. You got Marshall Salt still. You still got Carrier. And then, of course, I mean, there's so many of them over there. Where do we start? Shea Theodore. I mean, their defensemen score as well. I mean, they got scoring all over the ice, RP. And so, you know, this game, as we discussed, man, we don't know how you know, 2-0, it could be 3-2, 4-2 in the other direction by the end of the second period, you know?
Absolutely. That's what makes the playoffs exciting. And it's what you want to see. You don't want, I mean, at least I don't want to see blowouts in the playoffs. You want to see these games and these teams playing competitively and all. So it makes it interesting. It makes some really good hockey. But, you know, at any time anybody can, especially with all the teams that are in there right now, there's such scoring power offensively from the blue line that they can light it up at any time. So you can't sit back on your heels at all. You got to keep the pedal down as much as you can.
RP, let me ask you this real quick, and then I'm going to go back to Lou. As far as the Islander game the other night, I'm actually a little shocked that the Islanders did that. I mean, it was kind of twofold, but the Islanders dominated the Flyers. And not on top of that, not only on top of that, the Flyers came out flat, in my opinion. They didn't look sharp. Is it more so because this is what the Islanders have been doing? Kind of like they've been battle tested with the Washington Capitals, and Philly likes to play an ugly game, but it felt like Philly was, even though here's the thing, I thought, you know, Carter Hart actually kept them in him as much as he could, because he fought off an onslaught of great opportunities from the Islanders, despite, you know, Andy Green got that goal in the first period, you know, in the first couple of minutes, 5-6 minutes into the game. But there was still a lot of opportunities by the Islanders, a lot of shots on goal flying around, and, you know, JGB got on the scoreboard, and of course, that the slap shot with Anders Lee. I mean, Alain Vigneault is not going to let that slide. The Islanders, I think we all can say just like this, RP. How do you see this series is going to go with the Islanders and Flyers? And as a matter of fact, I know it's hard to ask you this question, but who do you have a preference on who you care for? And like, you hate both teams, so who do you root for anybody?
I just root to watch the hockey game, to be honest with you. But when you look at what the Islanders have done defensively, they played 10 games since the playoffs have begun, and they've only given up 6 5-on-5 goals. Their defense is probably better than anyone in the league right now still playing. And the Flyers mm-hmm. have to find a way to get more shots on goal. They have to drive to the net a lot more. They have to just start taking shots and try to get secondary shots and rebound goals, because the Islanders are just playing too well on defense. And every game, their confidence goes up. They know if they score 1 or 2 goals, they have the defense that can win that hockey game. So from mm-hmm. Philadelphia's standpoint, take shots from everywhere. The problem with how they're watching the Islanders play over the playoffs, I think the Flyers were a little tight. I think they're trying to find the perfect shot and the perfect play to beat the goaltender, and you can't do that. They just need to start driving to the net, going hard to the net, drawing penalties. Their power play hasn't been that effective, and they have to fix that. Because the Islanders are a real stingy team, and they don't need a lot of goals to score to win hockey games. You know, it may not be the prettiest kind of hockey, but at the end of the day, they're getting the W, and that's all that matters in the playoffs. So I do believe, like you said, the Flyers came out flat, but I think the Islanders' defense was just so much better, and they were able to handle whatever the Flyers threw at them for that game. I don't know if the Islanders could keep that pace up, keeping all those goals down, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But they're playing with a lot of confidence right now.
And here's the thing about that particular series, RP, through game one. I mean, Couturier did not, I mean, absolutely nothing. They completely shut him down. I don't think, not only he was a non-factor offensively, I don't think he even had a shot on goal. Like, this is one of your main go-to guys. And Claude Giroux, 2 shots on goal. I mean, Konechny, and, you know, Kevin Hayes is just quiet. I mean, this is not the Philadelphia Flyers, you know, we've come to accustom in the 1920 season. Because, first of all, I think a lot of people kind of slept on them because of the poor seasons they've had the prior couple of years. But adding Alain Vigneault as a head coach, they've been playing with an attitude. And they showed it in the round robin series. And I'll be honest, I mean, you know, the series versus the Canadiens, they fought through that one. I think they earned that series win versus the Habs. The Habs did not take them lightly, and they fought, and they got blown out in one of those games too. So maybe this is one of those games they could say, hey, we saw the Canadiens destroy us one of those games. We'll bounce back just like the Islanders. But the Islanders, to me, are a a lot better team than the Canadiens in this bubble, man. So I am really curious to see how this is going to go.
Absolutely.
Who do you have winning that series anyway? Philly and the Islanders.
I have the Islanders taking that in six.
I can see that.
I thought the Islanders. Yeah, I just thought. I don't know. I just like the way they're playing, just overall. I just think they're playing just such really good hockey. They're you know, before the pandemic hit, the Islanders had dropped seven games in a row. They were actually on the verge of getting knocked out of the playoffs, and then the pandemic came and they really benefited from the break. They came back and they played.
Mm-hmm.
They've been just playing great hockey, and of all the teams that needed to take advantage of the time off, the Islanders really did, and now they're a team to be reckoned with. So I think they're going to be able to take the Flyers in the series. The only thing that can change, the Flyers can start getting some goals and all of a sudden force the Islanders' hand. But right now, the way that the Islanders are playing, I definitely think they can take it in six.
Yeah, definitely easier said than done. We say, you know, all the team needs to do is get goals, but the Islanders don't make things easy. And we know they probably balance for balance, rest of the teams in the league that's in the playoffs, they've got a complete four-line system, and they really – I mean, they'll start off the games with the Clutterbuck line. I mean, they've done it for years, and they have those veterans that, you know, they'll play the ugliest of hockey games, and, you know, we know that their fan base appreciates that. I mean, we honestly, a lot of blue-collar fans appreciate what the Islanders do anyway. Even they are the arch rival of our team, but – we couldn't appreciate good defense, and they really took it to not only, you know, the Capitals, like we said earlier, but, of course, right now versus the Flyers, and I can definitely see that. This is interesting, Boston and Tampa Bay. What about – how do you see this series? I mean, this is a coin flip, man.
Well, that series is – that's just a fun series. They were conference finals last year. They have a history. You can see they were battling each other now. But this is a victim series to me. It could go either way. They're just both teams are playing good. You know, I don't think it's that big of a deal that Tukaresk isn't goaltending for them right now. He opted out. Halak's playing really well. He has a lot of experience. On the other side with Tampa Bay, Vasilevskiy is really solid in net. Both teams are playing good. Tampa Bay does have some familiar faces in Shattenkirk and the Gunner. I think if the series can go either way, but that series to me is definitely a 7-6-7 game series.
I can definitely see seven out of them. It's a coin flip. If I had to pick, man, I could make a case for both. I mean, we've known these two teams have kind of been the quote unquote along with Washington. These are the dominant teams in the standings the last several years. They've been in Stanley Cup conference finals, Stanley Cup finals, maybe over the last 6 years between the two. But, man, I mean, I really don't know, honestly. I mean, I'm going to just throw it, you know, maybe Tampa Bay. I'll say Tampa Bay just because I really don't have a reason to say Tampa Bay. Because I just believe Boston, I mean, they're kind of – they both have a similar scoring structure, and I like the fact that Tampa showed a little bit of toughness and a little grit that we have not seen. Watching this game earlier today, RP, after the they took back the goal. I don't know if you saw that. Boston was up 1-0. Tampa Bay scored on their third line, a deflected goal, but it went under review, and John Cooper was heated, and the play was called offsides. It was an offside.
Oh, yeah, I caught the video.
They took the goal back. Yeah. So then the next sequence, there was a shot on goal off the Bruins goalie, we saw Paquette hit the goalie for the Bruins. It was kind of a cheap shot. It was warranted a penalty. But it showed to me the Lightning had a little bit of an edge I haven't really seen out of them, you know? A lot of those guys, for the most part, have kind of been – I would say finesse. You know, you don't look at the Lightning team as tough guys or some guys who you know play with an edge. But they showed, they were really annoyed And I guess they kind of have to bring it versus we know we're really familiar with the Bruins. I mean, I think that may be one of those characteristics they're going to really use to hone and win in this series. And this was a good, like you said, this was a very good overtime win. You don't want to be down 2-0, and especially they were kind of trading deficits with this team. So yeah, I mean, confidence wise, especially doing what they needed to do against Columbus, I think this could definitely carry over.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. And then out in the West, I know Colorado's down 2-0. I'm not writing them all. I'm still going to stick with my pick with Colorado. But Dallas is no tough. They're a tough out. But we know in the hockey, we've seen some crazy stuff. I mean, you could be up 2-0, and you'll lose that lead just like that. And Colorado has too much offensive firepower, along with Dallas. But they just – I think the Dallas played it the right series to come up against Colorado. I think Colorado had it too easy versus Arizona. I mean, they were kind of scoring goals in their sleep versus the Coyotes. So I'm going to stick with Colorado, even down 2-0. And Vegas even losing right now. I know this game is currently in session. I mean, they got too much firepower. And I know Vancouver can score, and their power play is deadly. But at the end of the day, I still believe the Vegas Golden Knights is going to prevail over the Vancouver Canucks, and I think Colorado will be meeting them in the Western Conference Finals. What's your thoughts on that? Before we get to any Rangers news topics, any thoughts on the West?
No, I still like Vegas. I think that's going to be another tough series, but I think I like Vegas over Vancouver. And I thought Dallas had a great shot against Colorado just based how they've been playing. And tomorrow night's game is huge because there's just no way Colorado is going to come back from 3-0. So it's already one of those must wins, and tomorrow happens to be a 3-game day. The Islanders play at 3, and then Boston plays again tomorrow against Tampa Bay, which is surprising considering I don't know why they're playing back to back, but they are. And then the Dallas game is a 10:30 game tomorrow night, so it's going to be some good hockey. I do like Dallas over Colorado, and we'll just have to wait and see if it holds up.
All right. And before we get over, real quick on the blue shirts, man, I think I saw an article from the Ranger Proud page as far as Mika Zibanejad and his contract situation. You want to expound on the article piece you guys got going on at Empire Sports or any other Rangers news you want to share?
Yeah, the Zibanejad piece is just another kind of salary cap thing, you know. Everybody's scrounging to write stories. The Rangers camp has been extremely quiet once they came back. There hasn't been a lot of breaking news. I think everyone's waiting for the playoffs to end before things really start to shake up, other than, of course, getting the number one draft pick in the upcoming draft. So things have been quiet. All these salary cap pieces you see are, you know, speculation. What are the teams going to do with Jasper Fast? What are they going to do with Ryan Strom? How much, you know, what kind of contracts you think they're going to get? What direction the team is going for? The Rangers did loan Vitaly Kravtsov to the KHL, which a lot of people freaked out about, but he can come back once the NHL season starts. So he's just going to get some playing time. There's a rumor that Kaapo Kakko might be in the same boat and play for Finland, for TPA, or should he play there again? Just get these guys skating. You have to remember, when you look at the Rangers organization, from March until today, they've only played 3 games. These guys haven't really played hockey. So if you want to get Kravtsov going, if you want to get Kakko going, you might see some of these moves. Yeah, not a lot of rumor if they are or aren't going to happen with regards to Kakko. Kravtsov is going to the KHL. So we're just going to, you know, wait and see. There's been no talks or anything out of the Lundqvist camp ever since JD did tell him they weren't going to go with 3 goalies next year. We don't know what that means. A trade, a retirement, a buyout. Everything's on the table. But Lundqvist and his camp has been dead silent since they returned from Toronto. Apparently, he went back to Sweden, and no one's heard anything, so it's a wait and see. The rest of the season is a wait and see. It's a really unusual time of year, and because of the way the qualifying round was and the quick eight that the Rangers had, there has not been a lot of things to write about, so you kind of see all these anything kind of stories that we can grab just to get attention kind of deal. There isn't really much going on in Rangers Town right now.
I feel that. And before I get to your final thoughts, man, I, you know, outside of the COVID situation, because the sports was delayed, what, 4 months or whatever it was, I mean, outside of COVID, I mean, that's a health scare and that's a pandemic, a global pandemic. But as far as the timing of sports in the middle of July and August, I actually kind of like it, honestly. I mean, I don't like, maybe not necessarily the bubble situations, but I love, you know, the NHL in the dead middle of summer, because, I mean, when you have baseball, let's say you have a baseball team and you and they're out of it, like if you're a team of that's not doing well, you really have nothing to look forward to until the football season. But this is different, man. I mean, we're getting all kinds of sports in the middle of summer. I love it, honestly. I mean, outside of, you know, wish we got fans at the games. And that,
right. I agree with you. I think the NHL, and I know I'm biased because I'm a bigger hockey fan than baseball or basketball, but if you really look at overall, the NHL's taking the best advantage if they could of the situation. What a lot of people don't realize is the NHL players aren't playing to get paid. All these teams came in to win the Stanley Cup. Their checks already been paid. They already have all their money for the year, you know, for the season, unlike baseball and in some way with basketball until the playoffs started. I like very much how the bubble worked for the NHL. They haven't had any positive cases. It is hard. They're away from their families and their friends. Totally understand that and relate with that. As are the officials, as are the NBC broadcasters. It's a huge commitment to make this all work. And as we have said all along, it's great to see that the Players Association and the league did the right thing, worked out all the differences, and put the best quality and the best product on the ice. I flip to the other side and you see the struggles in baseball. To me, baseball isn't baseball when a doubleheader is seven innings. If you have to change your game to get the game played, then I have a problem with it. And they're just having trouble getting a 60-game season in. Rain delays and COVID cases. You know, the Mets just came off and they had to cancel the Subway Series last week, and the Mets couldn't play for 5 days, and now they're supposed to play, what is it, 34 games in 34 days. It's just not what the sport is. And I think baseball got altered because the players and MLB had trouble resolving their money situation and their contract situation. And lucky for the NHL, they didn't go through that. And NHL games, other than these unusual 3 o'clock in the afternoon games, which is weird, but on the flip side, last week it was great to watch 5 games in a day in the middle of the summer. It was great. So you're right. A crappy circumstance because of COVID, but they were able to turn that over, and they're getting some really good coverage. They're getting some really good exposure. The NBA, their viewership and their ratings are dropping. Baseball's totally struggling. No one's quite sure what's going on with the NFL, you know, how it's going to play out once they start all their travel. And then you got the hockey, which normally is the fourth of the major teams and all, just doing what they normally do, and it just seems to be working very well. So from a hockey fan, it sucks the Rangers aren't in it. But then again, from a hockey fan, it's great that you see in hockey the end of August. There's some really good hockey games. The playoffs are the playoffs. It's just fun to watch.
Sure is, man. Any additional thoughts before we log off, man?
That's about it. I'll be honest with you, Steve. It's been a quiet time from the Rangers. Keep following Empire Sports Media and Ranger Proud on Twitter and Facebook. I do appreciate it. I try to get out every little bit of news that we can find that's different, not the same thing everyone's putting out there, but it's been very, very quiet since they got eliminated.
Oh, yeah, I totally understand, man. But it was all worth the number one overall pick, honestly.
We're
still giddy about that. We usually go into the bubble, you leave with the number one overall pick because of the ping pong ball goes your way. I'm cool with that. We could definitely, we'll take that. We'll take that consolation prize.
We'll
RP, it was good talking. We'll rendezvous next week and see how we are deep into either round two or maybe just start up the conference finals in each, both in the East and the West. Ranger Proud and Steve, man. Sangreso, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.